In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we are told to rejoice. And yet our gospel lesson had John sitting in prison. The two seemingly don't go together. Even as you look at our bulletin cover, you have John behind bars and that word on top, rejoice. They don't go together. And yet perhaps this is the wisdom of the church in wedding these two together. Let me explain it for you. Jesus called St. John the Baptizer the greatest man born of woman. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, and the prophets Elijah and Elisha all must take a back seat to John the Baptist. His whole life was dedicated in service to Christ, preparing the way for the Lord, baptizing with a baptism of repentance. And now he sits in prison. It's not where he wants to be. The greatest man born of woman, at barely age 31, maybe 32, his work is done. His life hanging by a thread in Herod's hand. It's not where he wants to be. And so he seeks comfort from Christ. I do not believe that John is doubting who Christ is. He saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove on Christ. He heard the Father himself speak, "This is my beloved Son." John himself confessed, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So I do not believe that John is doubting who Christ is. But at the tender age of 31, 32, he's worn out, tired, and weary. And he just wants to hear one more time who Christ is from his very own lips. So tell me again who you are. Tell me again why you came. Tell me again that you are my Savior. And Jesus doesn't rebuke John. He doesn't shake his finger at him and say, "You know better. You are my prophet. You should stand up and always have a smile on your face, even as you sit in prison." No, instead he tenderly replies, "Go back and tell John what you see and hear. Go and tell him how I remove disease and death, and how I forgive men all their sins." And so they go. And yet still John sits in prison. The angelic armies sent to the prophet Elisha are nowhere to be seen. The angel of the Lord who destroyed the Assyrian army in the days of Hezekiah leaves Herod's army intact. John sits in prison. Your disease is not cured. Your sadness may rarely subside. Your pain may only increase. And you may feel like you are a prison in your own body or mind. And Jesus seemingly does nothing. And now you are told to rejoice. Jesus is supposed to be our great physician of body and soul, but we're not spared. We Christians are not spared from needing glasses or a wheelchair. Cancer, strokes, and even heart attacks are all realities for us as well. Our bodies are not what we wish they were. Our lives are probably not what we wish they were either. We always want to go back to a better time, a more happy time, perhaps just a more physically active time. The grass is always greener on the other side. Our lives do not always go as we planned, and rarely are we content with where God has placed us. We always want something different, something more, especially around this time of Christmas. Perhaps a new job, that would make me happy. Perhaps new toys, that would make me happy. Or perhaps just simply family gathering, that would make me happy. And at times we can feel like we are sitting in this prison, peering out at the other side with no way to escape and to gain true happiness. And week after week, we hear of this Jesus who frees the oppressed, who gives joy to sinners, and who heals the broken. And we wonder where all that is for us. The dishes still need to be washed. Doctor visits are still realities. Problems and frustrations still burden our shoulders. And this is his glorious kingdom? This is that eternal Savior. This is the power of God in action. The word and the sacraments seem to make no visible change in our lives. So you see, like John, we too are worn out, weary, and tired at times. The day is long. We're ready to be done. We want reprieve. We want freedom from the prison of schedules and doctors. As wonderful as smartphones are, I believe they tie us down more than they set us free. Now, don't get me wrong. God has given to us so many blessings we cannot even begin to enumerate. We enjoy this life. We have great gifts of God. And how blessed are those whose house is filled with children or with family on holidays. But it's still a broken and sinful world. So even around the holidays, on Christmas and Epiphany, things still just aren't right. We're always longing for something a little bit more. Now do you see the wisdom of the church in picking this reading and wedding it to that word rejoice? How often and how similar we are to Saint John. Tired, worn out, and just ready to be done. So tell me again who you are, Jesus, St. John asked. Tell us again who you are, Jesus, we echo. And he doesn't come and shake his finger at us and say, you know who I am. You have been Christian for X amount of years. You should always walk around with a smile on your face because you know what I have done. You know where you are headed, so you should always feel happy. No, he doesn't say that, for that's not the reality of our lives. He knows how weak we are. He knows how confused we are at times. He knows how often we struggle, and he knows just how desperately we need him. So he comes to us in his word to tell us of all the wonderful things he has done for us. But he doesn't just leave us with a word. He comes to us in the holy sacraments to prove that he has done these wonderful things and even continues to do them for us. He comes in word and sacrament to open your blind eyes so that you see your life through the cross. You see everything through his cross. He is God. He is man. He is in control. Satan is crushed. Sin is buried. Death is powerless. The world is not winning, but has already lost. So he hasn't forgotten about you who linger here. He hasn't simply sent you out on your own to do your best and to try to get through this life. No, no, he comes to you. He is with you always. And you see his presence here in word and sacrament. So tell me again, Jesus. Tell me again that I'm yours. Tell me again that everything I see around me will be for my good. Tell me again that I will see you with my own two eyes. He comes to us in word and sacrament to make our legs strong. We run and leap like a deer, like a calf released from the stall in the open field. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And he has given it all back to you to frolic and enjoy. But you are not alone. He doesn't simply send you out into the open pasture. But again, he is with you. At times you may feel like you are wandering around aimlessly in life, with really no purpose and little direction, not sure where you are headed, but understand this, you are always walking in the footsteps of Christ, always. There is nothing that you endure that he himself has not already paved for you. Every temptation that wears you down or wears you out, he has already overcome. So tell me again, Jesus, tell me again that you are my good shepherd. Tell me again that you are leading me through this life. Tell me again that these 2 feet will walk on golden streets. Jesus comes in word and sacrament to cure your leprosy. He has washed you clean and made you white as snow. Every filth and stain is removed. Not one can remain on you, for the blood of Jesus is a strong soap that cuts sin and death in an instant. The blood of Jesus is a strong medicine that rushes down your throat and targets each and every sin, no matter how small it may be. Not one is missed. So bury your guilt and your regrets in the font, in the blood of Christ. And God never drags them back up again. So tell me again, Jesus, that I am God's baptized child. Tell me again that I am dressed in your righteousness. Tell me again that you indeed have taken away all my sins. Christ comes in word and sacrament to open your deaf ears. And you hear the beauty of his forgiving voice, what sweet melodies he sings to you as he leads you on your path toward heaven. He knows the devil is out there, but he's not worried about him. He's crushed. He knows the darkness that is all around you and that lies up ahead, but he is not worried about that either, for he himself is the light. He is your light. Calmly and tenderly, he speaks to fill your ears with his sweet cross. So tell me again, Jesus, about Christmas. Let me hear that same Christmas story. Tell me again about Good Friday and Easter. Tell me again about you. Christ comes in word and sacrament to raise you from the dead. The resurrection is not just something that will happen many years from now or when the Lord returns. But through holy baptism, you have already been raised with Christ. Buried and raised, given a new life with him. For he who believes in Christ will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Christ will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, you whisper. Perhaps behind tears or sadness, the quiet confidence of faith. Yes. You must live. You must live forever, for Good Friday leads to Easter. Your baptism leads to a glorious resurrection. It must. So tell me again, Jesus, that I am not dying, but I am living. Tell me again that I will never die, but will only sleep in your pierced hands. Tell me again that I'm yours. And he does. Week after week after week, he comes in word and sacrament to show you who he is and to prove to you all that he has done is for you. And though at times we may feel like St. John sitting in prison and we don't feel that joy, we still have joy because we have faith. And now do you see the wisdom of the church in wedding these two things together? That we live beyond our feelings, we live beyond even what we see in this world. And we live by what we see Christ doing for us in word and sacrament. And then Christ says, "Blessed are you who are not offended by how Christ continues to work in word and sacrament." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.